football on off the ball.
I know we questioned the decision to give him a new contract pre-game, which still feels a little bit odd, but ultimately I think he deserves it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Daily.
And you're welcome, folks, to Off the Ball Sunday here on News Talk. John Duggan with you through to 8 this evening. Happy Easter, everybody. Hope you are doing great around the country. Thank you for tuning in. And we have an extended show today because we are showcasing live and exclusive commentary of Leinster's Investec Champions Cup last 16 match against Edinburgh. The former AIL winning coach Brent Pope will join Cúann O'Flaherty for the call from the Aviva Stadium, kickoff at 5:30. League finals day in hurling. We had both matches at the Gaelic Grounds in Limerick. Clare and Dublin contest the Division 1B decider at 1:45 before Limerick and Cork go head-to-head in the Division 1A final at 4. The former Galway goalkeeper and hurling pod analyst James Scahill will provide updates. We'll also bring you all the reaction before we go off air. The Irish Grand National takes place at Ferry House tomorrow. There's a special live racing pod from 3 with Tom Malone to help us through the runners and riders for the big race. As always, on a non-Premier League week, there's a football hour. Ex-Republic of Ireland international Keith Tracy and the football writer with the 42, David Snaid, will be with us at 4 p.m. And Adrian Barry is off this week. I was joined earlier by Irish Daily Mail journalist Linda Marr and Mick O'Keefe of Tenio Ireland for the Sunday paper review. We will play that out from 2 to 3. You can WhatsApp us today. Our number, 087-9180-180, 087-9180-180. We have Wexford's finest, Aidan Delaney, and Westmeath's finest, Matthew Brennan, here for the news round. Good afternoon, gents.
Good afternoon.
How's it going, John? Bit of tension between myself and Aidan here.
I was just thinking to myself after that, the Football League game recently.
Yeah.
Mini Ryan.
Yeah, we threw
the magic last minute winner.
Magic on your end, disaster on our end, I think. Yeah, we threw that one away, but the Leinster Championship is not too far away.
To be fair, we threw it away in the final then as well. So
yeah, it is true. Yeah, true. That's happened since.
Pretty disappointed now sitting here. But like I say, Leinster Championship is coming on and it looks like it's a wide open Leinster Championship as well. So
yeah, it's amazing.
You know,
Westmeath potential to face Meath in the quarter final, but we've to head to Longford before that, and my confidence is not through the roof. Westmeath, the type of team at the minute where I'd say the gap of victory defeat in the game against Longford will probably be the exact same as the gap of victory defeat in the game against Meath. So we tend to match who we're playing against or be slightly below, as was the case down in Wexford.
We dragged you down to our level.
Yeah. I'm clutching onto those straws. Yeah, I think that would be putting it kindly for Westmeath.
Are you more confident about the footballers or the hurlers in Wexford at the moment?
Ooh, to be fair, the momentum certainly is with the footballers, and there's an awful lot of kind of dourness around the hurlers, particularly not getting up this year. I think that's going to be a bit of a blow psychologically more than anything else. You're watching Clare and Dublin in the final today and thinking we probably should be there. And, you know, if things had gone a little bit differently in that Dublin game, we probably should be there facing Clare. But like you say, it's great to see that there is a momentum behind Wexford football because it has been the poor relation for a number of years now. And to be fair, they have a really strong squad there. There's a lot of players who have come through in recent years. They've managed to unearth this bit of talent, particularly in the south of the county, and kind of brought those lads through. So it's really exciting to actually have, you know, two teams that could be competing. And, you know, I'll be throwing in a lot with both, hopefully, this summer.
Very good. Arsenal is where we're going to kick off the news round. So we got FA Cup action today, but yesterday evening, the Gunners were knocked out.
Yeah, boss Mikel Arteta insists there isn't a crisis despite them suffering back-to-back defeats. The Premier League leaders followed their EFL Cup final loss to Manchester City with an FA Cup exit at Southampton, who beat them 2-1 last night. It means the chances of the quadruple have vanished, with only two trophies now up for grabs for the rest of the season. And the Gunners boss tried to make sense of that loss following last night's game.
Yeah, very disappointed in the manner that we lost the opportunity to get back to Wembley. I think the game had many periods of dominance from our side when we generated chances, situations. We didn't capitalize on that enough. When you defend in and around the box and the direct play in the manner that we did it today, you're going to put yourself in a really difficult position. And they did capitalize on that, and that's the reason why we are out. I love my players. When what they've done for 9 months, what am I going to do now? Criticize them because we lost a game here in the manner that they try. And the way they are putting their bodies through everything, some of them that probably they didn't even have to be here today, I'm not going to do that at all. I'm going to defend them more than ever. If someone has to take responsibility, that's me. And we have the most beautiful period of the season ahead of us. And now is a moment. In the season, you always have moments, normally two or three. This is the first moment that we have with certain level of difficulty. We're going to say difficulty when we're going to play the Champions League quarterfinals and the runner for the league, if it is a difficult period. I believe that there are many other ones that are much more difficult. So stand up, make yourself countable and deliver like we've been doing all season.
There were four trophies on offer. There's now two, but the key one is the league. If they win the league, everything else is forgotten. They have to win the league. If they throw away the league from here, it will be something else. They've got Sporting and the Champions League away from home, the first leg of the quarterfinal this week. You were watching the game last night.
Yeah, the most beautiful period of the season coming up. I wonder if you were asking Arsenal fans who were leaving St. Mary's last night, did they feel like it was the most beautiful period of the season? Would they agree? Yeah, I think Arsenal were a little unlucky. I think they came up against a side who, you know, had this unbeaten run. I think that's 16 games unbeaten now for Southampton. So they were at home. They were the underdogs. It was under the lights. It was really kind of set up for a bit of an FA Cup upset. And I think, to be fair, Southampton really... they had a great chance in the first half with the Brazilian on the left. He really should have slotted away, made it 1-0 kind of early on that game. He had another great chance to kind of make it 2-0 in the second half where he hit the crossbar. Yeah. So it was really well-deserved from Southampton. They probably, on the balance of play, they probably came through. You thought, particularly when Gyökeres came on, I thought, you know, oh, this is Arsenal now. This is a kind of a new, improved kind of mentality, strong Arsenal, where they'd come on and he'd maybe bring them to extra time and maybe you know the extra legs might carry them into the next round. But to be fair to Southampton, like, that's the story here rather than Arsenal. I think we'll hear from Ross Stewart, who had that brilliant goal in the first half as well later on. So I mean, they should be really the story rather than Arsenal.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ross Stewart's had a pretty crazy couple of years. He had a horrible injury when he signed for Southampton and was out for a period of time. He would have been one of the stars of the Sunderland Till I Die documentary a couple of years ago, so people might be slightly familiar with him. One of the greatest nicknames in football, they call him the Loch Ness Drogba.
Yes, I noticed that yesterday.
Yeah, so. And he very well taken goal. A couple of the Irish lads doing quite well, Ryan Manning and Finn Azaz.
But a big night for them, given what happened in Prague.
Absolutely, and it's been a pretty decent weekend for a lot of the Irish lads too. I mean, Adam Eda came off the bench, got a goal and assist for Swansea. They came back to draw their game. Alan Brown picked up an assist and a loss for Middlesbrough. So some of the guys maybe who didn't have the greatest of international windows, it's good for them to get back on equal footing, I suppose, in their own careers. Maybe not necessarily with the Irish fans just yet. I saw Ryan Manning getting a bit of stick on Twitter from some of the Arsenal fans after he left one in on Max Dowman, saying, oh, what's he doing leaving one on someone half his age? But like, come on, what are we doing here? We're he's on the pitch. He's the same as anyone else there. So good to see him play well. He actually, funnily enough, in relation to the Czechia game, he dealt with having a yellow card quite well, as he obviously picked up a yellow card over in Czechia and was withdrawn for Robbie Brady. In the second half, he dealt with it pretty well last night. So good for them lads. And that's twice now Finn Azaz has performed well against Premier League opposition. Obviously, they came through against Fulham in one of the previous rounds. So showing that maybe he might be able to step it up a level if they do get promoted, which they've every chance of doing now. They're just on the outskirts of the playoffs.
A lot of unhappy Liverpool fans at the moment.
I'm one of them, absolutely, yeah. So obviously Manchester City thrashing Liverpool 4-0 to progress to the semi-finals yesterday as well. Yeah, it was one of those games that as soon as this was fixed for 12:45, you just thought, Liverpool are not going to be up for this. And they were up for it, to be fair. They were kind of giving it to City for the first 35 minutes. But as soon as something went against them, the heads just dropped. And, you know, Virgil van Dijk was talking after the game and he accused the players of giving up. And I think he was the chief architect of giving up as well. He was the one that gave away the penalty. And players looked to their captain in kind of moments like that, and he is somebody who, when everything is going right and his kind of lackadaisical kind of laconic style can be quite, you know, kind of reassuring, but when things are going wrong, you kind of want a leader in that situation. And he does, you know, he claps his hands and he shouts and all that kind of stuff, but I don't think he is the leader that Liverpool need at the minute. When you look back at the Klopp team, Klopp's kind of general on the field was Jordan Henderson. Not the greatest footballer in the world, not the most skilled, but somebody who could, you know, rouse his teammates and kind of get them round and kind of all pushing in the same direction. Whereas Virgil van Dijk, I think, just doesn't have that kind of style. He's not really a kind of a hand around the shoulders kind of person. And I don't think that's where Liverpool are suffering at the minute. This isn't a team that's not full of quality. It's a team that's lacking in confidence. And I think when they look to their big players, those players aren't just leading them at the minute.
Yeah, he seems like one of these who's sort of a captain where he leads by example, and that his performance is something that the players around will look up to. And
somebody who doesn't need an armband.
Yeah, you know, exactly that.
Whereas
that,
the armband exactly can actually weigh some people down, I think, a bit. And I think that's kind of what's happening.
Yeah, they look like they need a bit of a G-ing up. Like, you know, it seems like they're not playing for anything, which is weird considering they were in the quarterfinals of a cup, and
they're inconsistent.
Still in the Champions League, and yeah, you still feel like they're capable of turning up.
Well, they're capable of beating a team on their day, but yeah, it's the inconsistency, and it's the
first 35 minutes of the game yesterday were almost more annoying than the rest of the game because it's like, this is the level you can perform to. This is what you are capable of doing. But then when something goes against them, it throws the hands up and, and Slot again after the game is talking about like XG and stuff like that. You lost 4-0.
Yeah.
You were absolutely dominating in the second half. I mean, you can't just blame, and like there has been a bit of, obviously, you know, have been unlucky this year, and there seemed to be a period there where every single shot seemed to just go in. But I mean, you have to take responsibility for this, and you have to make sure that these don't happen week in, week out, and that's what's happening at the minute.
Yeah. What other football news do we have then? So we got one game today.
Yes, so
and
that's
obviously Chelsea winning as well last night.
Yeah, so Chelsea, they'll be heading for Wembley after hammering Port Vale 7-0. Leeds United and West Ham United battling it out this afternoon to secure the final last four spot in the FA Cup. Premier League sides Lockhorns in the only quarterfinal of the day. That's a 4:30 kickoff. Daniel Farke's side hoping to reach a first semi-final appearance since 1987.
What about Scotland?
Rangers sitting top of the Scottish Premiership this morning thanks to their 4-2 win against Dundee United. Hearts, who trailed the Ibrox club on goal difference, can retake the summit this afternoon by avoiding defeat to bottom side Livingston. Third place Celtic are off the top two by just 5 points ahead of their away game to Dundee today.
Okay, we also have Women's FA Cup semi-finals.
Yeah, so Arsenal looking to end a good week for their women's side on a high. They take on Brighton for a place in the Women's FA Cup semi-finals this afternoon. They go into the match after knocking London rivals Chelsea out of the Champions League in midweek. Katie McCabe had a bit of a starring role in that game, but she's starting today on the bench. And her Ireland teammate Caitlin Hayes will start for the Seagulls. And then Liverpool head to Charlton, hoping to avoid upset in today's other last eight tie.
This is Off the Ball Sunday on News Talk, the news round. John Duggan joined by Aidan Delaney and Matthew Brennan. We also have our GA correspondent Tommy Rooney on the line from the Gaelic grounds ahead of these Hurling League finals. Afternoon, Tommy.
Afternoon, John. Hi, lads.
Tommy, I hope you're well. It feels that when we're thinking about the Division 1A final at four, Limerick and Cork, they're not going to hold back. Obviously, there's a lot of pride and a lot of brilliant rivalry from recent years, but they do have a bigger meeting in 3 weeks.
They do, John. They do. But look, I can only go off what I know about sports people, and you'll be chatting to James Kelly in a little while. These fellas and women that go out and play our games are competitive animals, and they just want to win. And they want to win these games. And it's very hard to go out in whatever level you're playing Gaelic games, or any sport for that matter, and pull back a bit when you're in the middle of a battle, when you're in the middle of a game, to try and win 80%, 90% and not really go for it. That ain't happening today. Between John Kiley's side, who always talked to us about their markers, their individual standards and the things they have to hit. They're fighting against each other. Like, you think the depth of that Limerick panel, they are battling against themselves to get a position in the Munster Championship in a couple of weeks' time. And likewise with Cork, with Ben O'Connor, he's used well over 30 Cork players across his maiden campaign, and the only blip really was the defeat here to Limerick, which was a ferocious game. I was here that afternoon in the Gaelic grounds, and the hits and the bit of edge, there was a little bit of nastiness in that game, and it was very evident in the first 30 minutes that there was markers being laid down. So look, there'll be no holding back today, and I'm really looking forward to seeing some of the battles that are going to play out in the field, because to be honest with you, we don't get enough top tier hurling. So please don't hold back today. We want to see a game like this as ferocious and as fun and colourful and magical as it can be. And there's 43,000 tickets sold today. So that kind of tells you what everyone else is expecting to.
Yeah, it's going to be a bit of a feast day, isn't it? For Clare and Dublin, whatever happens, another step in the fine-tuning process for their round-robin campaigns. It's just interesting, 1B to 1A, the intensity, but they also could be under the radar, these counties.
For sure, John. Yeah, and you know, Storm David has obviously wreaked a bit of havoc across the country this weekend. It's going to be, the aftermath of it is going to be at play here today. There's been showers, there's going to be high winds, there's the odd bit of sunshine. Anyone who isn't blessed with the Mackie stand above their heads today is in for a tight enough afternoon over in the open terrace and the stand either side here. So it's going to be fun. I think this is going to be a really good game today. These two met in January at the start of the league, and Clare set down a marker for their spring that was to follow. They won that day. They picked a strong team to start. They needed a late 1-1 to get over the line. We know what the Dubs did last year in Salt Hill. We know what they did against Limerick. They're a team on the rise, and Neil O'Callaghan is building some really good habits amongst his squad, and they need days like this. The Dublin Hurlers need to win games like this So it's going to be a big one, but make no mistake about it, Brian Lohan has Clare well tuned at this stage of the year. They went on a warm weather training camp for the first time possibly in Lohan's reign. They usually head off to Doonbeg, but they went off to Portugal this time, and they did that in between their last game against Wexford and this final here. So they've been motoring really nicely and getting ready. You say under the radar, but they are the All-Ireland champions from 2024, and they're going into that first round game against Waterford knowing just how important the early round games are on Munster. So you talk about fine tuning, I think we're going to get two very intense, ferocious, entertaining games today with a couple of goals going in into the goals.
Set it up very beautifully, Tommy. Thank you so much for the moment. Tommy Rooney, RGA correspondent at the Gaelic Grounds. Looking forward to these, lads. There's so much great writing in the papers today about Cork and Limerick and fierce battles. And just feels when the clocks go forward, Masters, Grand Nationals, Champions Cup, Premier League is boiling up. Champions League, the matches in the Champions League this week are fantastic. Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, I can't wait for that one. And you have the Hunger Games, the Munster Championship on our doorstep.
Yeah, it's an interesting point Tommy makes there about not us not having enough or as much top level hurling. But I do think there's a lot to be said for the kind of allure and the anticipation that comes when these two big teams do kind of come and play against each other. You know, you get it sometimes with the Champions League and the new format and the way all the big teams are playing each other more regularly now, and it sort of takes away from the occasion a bit. I think even though this is a league final and we hear so much discourse about how it's not that important, and we talked there about how, like, are the teams going to come out and leave it all out there on the pitch, and I think Tommy's right in that you can't hold yourself back a little bit. Maybe the management team might not go out and try out their sweeper this morning. They might, or this evening, they might leave it for the All-Ireland semi-final or whatever. The tactical side may be slightly different, but it's going to be a cracking game. Both two cracking games. And a very interesting point about Dublin having to win these big games too. That would really be a good step for them as well, obviously, to kind of move away from perhaps that Limerick game last year being a bit of an anomaly, you know. A big win against Clare would do them the world of good.
I think Dublin are a team that need momentum. I think Dublin are they're probably the most comfortable team in the Leinster Championship now at the minute. You've seen Kilkenny come back a little bit. Galway are kind of in the doldrums a little bit. Wexford should have been the team that have kind of stepped up in their absence, but it's Dublin who have really taken advantage. And I think getting Neil O'Callaghan in was a really smart move by them. I think they've got a really nice kind of squad coming through. They know how to win big games now. They know how to keep themselves in big games, and particularly when it comes down to the summer. I think Dublin might be a shout in for the Leinster Championship, and I think if they manage to get a win today, get a big scalp, you know, of course it is a league final, maybe teams aren't trying so hard, but I think if you're somebody like Dublin, you should try in every game. You should try win every bit of silverware that you can, and when you are in those kind of hard moments in the Leinster Championship, when you're in the Leinster final, you can turn back and say, look what we did to Clare, look what we did in the league. This is going to stand to them as the year goes on.
Leinster wise, we have rugby, we have the game later on, obviously, folks. That's we're on air till 8 o'clock, the Edinburgh match commentary on Off the Ball Sunday here. What are the details of the match, Aidan?
Yeah, so they've named a strong starting 15, 14 Irish internationals, along with All Black Rico Ione, looking to make the quarterfinals today. That one gets underway at 5:30 at the Aviva Stadium. And before that, Bodo Begle play the Leicester Tigers from 3:00.
So it'll be Glasgow or Toulon if Leinster win today, and if they beat Sale next week. I'm expecting all these things to happen.
Yeah,
just a bit, yeah. Meanwhile, in the Challenge Cup last night, Ulster hung on to book their place in the next round. A late try for the Ospreys was chalked off Richie Murphy's side, coming out on top by 28 points to 24. They'll now face La Rochelle and Ronan O'Gara in the quarterfinals. Nick Timoney scored what proved to be the crucial fourth try in last night's game. Speaking to Premier Sports afterwards, he says it's a just reward for the hard work both he and the team have put in this year.
Listen, we're delighted to win. It's knockout rugby. It's against a tough team. They made it tough for us today. We got probably a small bit lucky in the end there. But listen, we'll take it and we'll go on to next week. I believe it's La Rochelle, so it's not going to get much easier. But looking forward to it.
How impressed have you been with the way your side has played throughout the season in terms of your ability to convert opportunities?
Yeah, it's been great. I think you see some of the backs we have, some of the ball carriers we have in the pack. The way we've been playing our shape has been coming on week in week, it seems, and luckily, yeah, we're getting over the try line a bit. Obviously we'd like to make it a bit less tight towards the end and concede a couple of tries less, but certainly our attack's been pretty pleasing this year.
Just a quick word on your own form. You must be delighted with the way things have transpired this season. Great form for Ulster and then being pushed right the way through to a Six Nations debut and plenty of game time in an Irish shirt.
Yeah, it's been an unbelievably enjoyable season. as you said, we've sort of been making strides at Ulster, and then getting my first game and a few games in the Six Nations, amazing. Obviously, great experience, came down to the wire, winning the Triple Crown, amazing. Amazing for me, I was delighted. So it was a bit surreal at times, because you've been waiting a lot of years for to feel like you get that opportunity, and it was great to be a part of it. So yeah, listen, loving it at the moment, but obviously massive few weeks coming up, so I need to keep pushing.
Nick Timoney there speaking to Premier Sports after Ulster's win. They're not in the same side of the bracket as Connacht, and Ulster play La Rochelle and Ronan O'Gara's team next Friday at 8 o'clock in Belfast, and then on Saturday at 12:30 it's Connacht to win to Montpellier. That's the details around the Challenge Cup. We have Leona Maguire in action.
Yeah, she slipped to fifth place at the Aramco Championship overnight after a disappointing third day at Shadow Creek. The Cavan golfer carded a round of 74, leaving her one under par for the tournament and six shots off the leader, Lauren Coughlin. Anna Foster remains a further 12 shots back. She's 11 over, and Lauren Walsh is 14 over heading into the final day.
We have the play suspended at the Texas Open. Bad weather in Texas, and Robert McIntyre is leading 15 under par. The Scot from Ludvig Åberg, his Ryder Cup teammate, who's 13 under. Then another couple of players on 11 under par. Matt Wallace and Ryo Hisatsune of Japan. So that's the tee-up event for the Masters, but will they get to 72 holes? We'll have to wait and see. We got boxing news.
Yeah, British boxer Lauren Price has called for a fight with the American Clarissa Shields after retaining her welterweight world titles against Stephanie Pinheiro last night. The WBC, WBA and IBF belt holder won on the unanimous points decision in Cardiff. Terry Harper and Caroline Dubois clashed this evening in their unified lightweight world title bout at Olympia. Jarek Chisora lost to former heavyweight world champion Deontay Wilder by a split decision at London's O2 Arena. And Chantal Cameron has confirmed she hasn't been approached for Katie Taylor's retirement fight in the summer.
So we're not far away from the World Snooker Championship. Mm. And we have action at the moment.
Yeah, the Tour Championship final is just underway this afternoon, and we're guaranteed a first-time winner of that. The defending champion, John Higgins, was smashed in yesterday's semi-final by Zhao Jintong. The Chinese player eased to an 8-0 lead in the afternoon session before eventually emerging a 10-frames-to-1 winner. The 29-year-old is taking on fellow debut finalist Judd Trump in today's decider. Like I say, just underway in Manchester.
A Ferry House hosting day two of the Easter Festival. Two grade ones this afternoon. We have the Honeysuckle Mares Novice Hurdle at 3:50 and then the Willow Worm Gold Cup at 5 o'clock, the 2.5 mile chase.
I was listening to Sean Cleary Farrell talking last night, actually. He had the winner in the last race, I think.
The big handicap hurdle yesterday.
Yeah, a big prize for Willie Mullins. And he was talking about how, I think, did he fall off at the last in one of the races not too long ago, the TS days maybe, and he was talking about how, like, the camaraderie in the weighing room and how appreciative he was of being able to get straight back out and get back up on the horse, both metaphorically and in reality. And he spoke about his girlfriend leading out the horse from it all. So it was a nice little touch. Obviously, it's a quite a sad story in his background as well, with his father passing away all those years ago. But seems like a nice kid, and good to see him doing well.
7 pound climber, Calix de la Barriere.
Great name.
Won for Sean and for Willie Mullins. The Spanish Harlem, I remember the fall there. Yeah. It was about to win the fastest chase. Yeah. And look, I mean, you know, dust yourself down and get back in the horse, as you said. And a great win. It was a comfortable win, a 5-length win in a race that's worth €58,900 to the winner. So big win for Sean. I watched the race back last night. A really good ride as well. Was patient in the race and was eventually able to spring the horse to victory. And will you watch the big race tomorrow?
I'll definitely keep it on anyway. I'm working in here, so I'll have to, you know, try to at least put up a kind of a facade that I'm actually doing some work. But I'll manage to sneak some of it in. Anyway.
Yeah, no, I'll watch it, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Will you watch the Masters?
Definitely. The Sunday, I assume I'll be working here next Sunday, but I'll be sure to...
You won't be working at midnight.
No, I won't be. Well, I'll be back in early Monday morning, but I made it work last year, so I can definitely make it work this year. If you get anywhere, even a tenth of the anticipation we had on the Sunday last year,
that was amazing.
We'd be doing well, you know, so it's always a highlight. It's great to have the entry and the Masters kind of coinciding as well.
Yes,
an action packed weekend,
spring double.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, I was here last year and I was following every stroke from Rory while, you know, hoping I would get home at a reasonable time. But once he actually managed to get it done, I was just bouncing down the road. And it is going to be a bit of a come down this year, given that, you know, obviously the magic story is not there. But I would love to see somebody like Bob McIntyre, somebody like Ludvig Åberg. I think somebody like that coming through this week would be absolutely incredible.
Okay, Aidan Delaney and Matthew Brennan, thank you so much for the news round here on Off the Ball Sunday News Talk.
Off the Ball Daily.